4, 1 John chapter 4. I'll go a couple other places, but we'll get there. Everybody, hope everybody had a good Valentine's Day. We just had Valentine's Day. Huh? Did you get one of them little hearts set "Be Mine" on the front of it, or whatever they do? That's good, man. That's good. Valentine's. You know all about love. We sang "Love Lifted Me." We sang one of the old hymns, "Love Lifted Me." And we know this, that God is love. You know that we know that God is love. And so let me read to you in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and that he dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also." Heavenly Father, thank you for our fellowship time, our singing this morning. And we thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your Son that we could have eternal life. Thank you for loving us, God. Help us love you more. I pray for that. Help us love each other more. And I pray that you love other people through us today. Speak now through your word. It's my prayer today. If there's somebody that doesn't know you, that needs to be saved, Lord, today be the day they give their heart to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is love. That's what our text tells us. Let me tell you something about love. I know something about it. Had to do a little side note before we get started. Paul's out of town. I had to do the Sunday school class, and when I got here, I realized I got my Sunday school notes in another notebook. I didn't have my notebook. I'm standing here. It's time to teach. I said, "Well, y'all going to find out how smart I am or not, because I'm going to go off my memory, so this lesson ought to take like 5 minutes." But, you know, we got through it all right. But anyway, side lesson. But, you know, there's nobody that loves you like God. Amen. Nobody, not your spouse, not your kids. You don't even love your kids like God loves you. And you probably love your kids a lot. God loves us, man. God is love. We started a series. I'm doing a series on Sunday night. I'll continue on with that tonight. Started last Sunday about a picture of the real Christ. You know, we got to get the paintings that we've seen of what people think Christ looked like. He probably doesn't look like 99.9% of the paintings. He doesn't look like that. The painting that we have of Jesus is in the Bible. God himself painted the picture of what Christ looked like. And we started last week and we talked about the preeminent characteristic of God is his holiness, or Jesus is his holiness, how holy he was and is. And we know, we talked about the fact that God is love, and we kind of major on that, or the world does, that God is love. He is love, but he's holy. He's holy, and his holiness overrode his love, but he is love. And we want to talk about that. We'll emphasize that. You know, on Valentine's Day, a lot of times you get cards and you get candy, or, you know, I notice a lot of people seem like they went out with their wives, they went out to dinner, things like that. But whatever you got didn't top what God gave. God's Valentine to us was he gave his Son. He gave his only son that he would die on the cross and pay the penalty and the price of for our sin. Man, I mean, think about that. And so we can't top that one. So we'll just look at God and what he's done. Look at love from how God loves us and how we should love God and how we should love each other. Number one, we look at the source of love. Verse 7, right off the bat where it read, it said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." The source of love comes from God. So all true love, think about this, God made everything, right? And so that the fact, you know, when you get thinking deep enough, the fact that there is this thing, I don't know what else to call it, love, where'd that come from? It came from God. God is love. And so love itself, the essence of love exists because of God. And so when God made us and he gave us a capacity to love, he gave us a capacity to receive love and a capacity to, you know, and we receive it and we have a capacity to give love out. And God made us to where we can give, the love of God can come into us and go to other people. It all comes from God. And so not just loving, you know, it doesn't say that God is loving. He is loving, but it says he is just love itself, love. Now, there's three Greek words for love that I could think of off the top of my head. I had to teach my whole Sunday school lesson off the top of my head, so a lot got left out. But, you know, there's three kinds of love. There's eros, that's erotic love. There's phileo, which is I'm very fond of you. And then there's agape love. And that those are three Greeks, very specific. And it's like we got love, man. I love pizza. And I could say I love pizza. I love my son. I guess he's hoping that I love him better than I do pizza. It's not the same thing. Just depends on how hungry I am, right? And so, but there's, you know, we say that for a lot of things. Boy, I just love this. And so, but Greek is specific. It's got specific words. And agape love, this is unconditional, selfless, sacrificial, and it's a deliberate choice. And that's how God loves. God loves agape love. That's the love of God. It's a greater thing than emotion. It's greater than emotion. This, you know, God said, listen, while we were yet sinners, the Bible tells us that God loved us. He loved us while we were yet sinners. A few weeks ago, I preached a message, and I give you the 3 degrees of love. A.W. Tozer spoke about this. And you know, there's the love of gratitude, like somebody does something for you. Well, you love them, right? And then there's the love of excellence, where you think when you love God that way, it's like, boy, God is so great that I'm going to love him, right? But both of those have a because attached to them. I spoke about that a couple weeks ago. We love God because, or we love somebody because. But the unconditional love, the agape love, that is a love that it's there's no because in it. God, while we were yet sinners, man, that you know, he commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, he died for us when there wasn't anything that lovable about us. There wasn't anything in us to love. We were sinners, right? Boy, see, that's real love. You know, you mom, when my kids were born, when my daughter was born first, she hadn't done a thing to like earn love, right? Man, I was in love from day. She hadn't even made it over to the bassinet or whatever they put you in to weigh you in and wipe you down. They hadn't made it that way. I was in love, right? What'd she do? Nothing. What if something had been wrong with her? I still loved her. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. It was unconditional love. It wasn't based on anything. That's the way God loves us, right? And so that's how God loves. And so love is the source of love. Everything comes from God. We wouldn't know a thing about it. We wouldn't know a thing about it if it wasn't for God, because God is love. The standard of love, we see in verse 11, he said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought." See that word ought? That means there's a responsibility. Now we have we ought also to love one another. There's responsibility. I'll talk about that a little bit farther down the road. So God set a standard for love. Well, how does God love? What kind of love does he have? One, it's a giving love. It's sacrificial love. It's unconditional love. And it's a never-ending love. So, the standard, I use this a lot of times in weddings, but it's great. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is called the love chapter. King James Bible uses the word charity. I'll put love in there, though, as I read it. But if you got a KJV, you're looking at charity. But it's a, I like charity because charity is a giving love, and that's, you know, that's good. But it says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That's a good point right there. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And then it says this about love. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Man, there it is. There it is right there. Love never fails. And so, you know, charity is this giving love. It says that it's the love that God has is patient and long-suffering. I used to always say, I'm not a doctor because I don't have any patience. You'll get that on the way home. No, I don't have patience, you know, but love is patient. It's long-suffering. I mean, it puts up with a lot. Overlooks faults. It overlooks our fault. Forgiveness. Somebody asked Jesus, well, Lord, how many times should we forgive somebody? He said 70 times 7. Now, he's not giving us a mathematical number. We would be, you know, we'd have to have a book to write it down. All right, I forgave somebody. I'm putting a mark down to get up. No, what he's saying is you just forgive them as often as they ask for forgiveness. I mean, you forgive them. Love, real love puts other people first, puts people first. And then it says this, it says, thinketh no evil. Now, here we go. Huh? Thinketh no evil. You know what happens? One of the reasons that love fails in human relationships is because the mind starts thinking evil. And I like Harold always says that. I said, man, you know, negative thoughts don't come from God. They just don't. But we get stuff in our mind. Somebody done something wrong. And we can't get it out of our head. And we lay in bed and we rehearse that over and over and over again. Huh? And we tell everybody under the, you could go get a stranger off the street. Hey, buddy, come here. Let me tell you this story about what somebody did to me. I mean, you're going to tell everybody about what happened. And you rehearse it over and over and over again. And you don't want to get healed from it. Ed Moore's message on the arrows, remember that? Got shot by an arrow of a friend. And they said, well, let me take it out. No, don't take it out. I'm proud of it. I want everybody to know that I've been hurt. I want everybody to know that. And then somebody else shooting all the arrows is in there. And they start to fester up. And then the guy ends up dying because he won't pull the arrows out. And that's what happens to us. And then we get bitter. If we roll it over our head, do we get bitter? And guess what? Then all that bitterness spews out on everybody else that's around us. Why? Because we keep thinking evil. Keep thinking evil. Keep thinking evil. Thinking of negative things. Won't forgive. What does it say about real love? Is real love forgiving? It forgives, right? It forgives. And so here it is. Pride, man. Pride gets at the bottom of that. But that's not, just think if God rolled over our sin, the times we didn't put him first and the times we neglected him and the times we rejected him and the times we said, God, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do my own thing. What if God kept rolling that over in his head till he got bitter? Well, wouldn't none of us be here? Right? Wouldn't be any of us here. Wouldn't be anybody here. The standard is God's love, and it says it bears all things. He bears all things. All things. How many is all? How much is all? Huh? It's all, right? It's everything. Bears everything. What about? Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what somebody did to me. Bears all things. Bears all things. It would have to. if love didn't bear all things, then God would be done with us already. Amen. Huh? I mean, poof, 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 right? Good thing I can't do like Elijah and call fire down out of heaven. There'd be a lot of burned up chairs out there. Huh? Believe it or not, sometimes y'all rile me up. Everybody thinks I make them mad. Well, guess what? Sometimes I'm pretty aggravated with you. You know what I'm saying? Poof. Huh? But, you know, God knew that, so he said, nah, I'm not giving you the power to call down fire from heaven. Plus, we have to repair all these chairs that we burn. But believe it or not, it says that real love endures all things. Endures all things, endurance. You just bear with it. You bear with it. Believeth all things, hopes all things. And it goes on to say, love never fails. Love never fails. Love never quits. Love never gives up. It just doesn't. That's the standard. That's how God loves. Well, God never gives up on us. He just doesn't. He doesn't. That's how he loves. Well, how does he want us to love? Same way. Same way. He wants us to love the same way. Huh? Listen, we just overlook. Hey, you know what? I don't know if you all notice this. Maybe I'm the only one. That people got faults. Have you ever noticed that? People got faults. Guess what? You just learn to live with it, right? Listen, you know what we try? We spend half our life trying to change people's faults. And it's the cool thing about getting older is there's a lot of stuff you don't worry about that you used to. I just don't give a hoot about things. And I figured out, you know what? I just got to live with people the way this is the way they are. You got to love them like they are. You know, that's just the way. That's how God loves us, right? I mean, now God does transform us. He transforms us. He does that, and we can't transform anybody, even though we try. We try like mad to do that. So that's the standard. Then we look at the scope of God's love. How big it is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. That word world is cosmos in the Greek. And that means the whole world. There's people that say, well, God only loved the elect. That isn't what it says. It says that he loved the whole world, not the whole elect world, cosmos, because of the word, because Greek is specific. There's another Greek word if you were going to have a specific group or a part of the world that would be used, but he used cosmos. It's the whole world. God loved the whole world. And now think about this. If God didn't love the whole world, and I'm going to tell you in a little bit later, God told us to love our enemies. He tells love our enemies. I'll give it to you here in the end. If God didn't love the whole world, how could he command us to love the whole world? Huh? He told us to love those that hate us, to love them. That's it. So God loved, so he couldn't tell us that. God loves the lost. Now, because of his holiness, he has to judge the lost that don't trust him. He has to. He may love you, but his holiness is going to demand you either accept the payment that Christ made for your sin, or you reject that, and now you're going to pay the penalty, which is eternal separation from God. His holiness just demands that. It overrides his love. He may still love you. Huh? When we had to punish our children, we had to give them a whip, and did we just like turn a switch off with stop loving them for this next 30 seconds or whatever it's going to take? No, we still love them. We still love them. There's nothing to do with that. They might not have thought that, but they did. God has to love. He loves everybody because he is love. Young, old, rich, poor, healthy, sick, no matter the color of their skin, no matter nationalities, he loves the whole world. That's the scope of God's love. It covers the whole world. He loves the whole world. He loves the world. Man, when Jesus died, God was showing the whole world that he loved the whole world when Jesus hung on the cross. He loves us. That brings us to the sacrifice of love, the sacrifice of love. That I said, charity, I like charity in the KJV over in 1 Corinthians 13, because charity is like giving. It means giving. Well, listen, God so loved the world, he gave, right? I mean, he gave. And God gave his son, like there in 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the, I emphasize that when I read it, the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means the act of satisfying God. Why? His holiness had to be satisfied. You weren't appeasing an angry God so much. It's not really that, but it's satisfying the righteousness of a holy God. What that holiness demanded, thereby making it possible for him to show mercy to he can show mercy to those that trust him righteously. He can do it righteously, rightly, which means rightly. And so here it is, man, that he sent his son to be not a propitiation, but the only one. He's the only one. That's a definite article, the. I learned more about English since I became a pastor and man and started studying and had to look at Greek and this and that and the other thing. I couldn't have passed the test. They said, what's the? I didn't know. I know now it's a definite article. It's a definite article, the. If you said a propitiation, that would leave the possibility that there's more than one. But when it said the, it's singular, right? It's just the one. He's the only one. Jesus is the one. And God sent his son. I mean, that's love. God was showing the whole world. And I think, this is my mind. I think I'm right, that this whole thing about sin coming into the earth, to the world with Adam and Eve, didn't catch God off guard. This was part of the plan. And that man became sinners because of the first parents. Why? Because in God's whole plan, man had to get knocked down and man had to get so low that God could show man that he loved him. And what he did when he did that, when he sent his son, no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Man, he laid down his life for his enemies. he laid down his life for his enemies. They had an opportunity or have an opportunity to be saved. And so, man, Jesus is that one. He made atonement for our sins. The Greek word halosimos is the word for propitiation, a sacrifice that turns away the wrath and satisfies divine justice. That's what Jesus did. That's the price he had. What did it cost him? His life. He had to give his life. And that's a pretty good price. Pretty big price, right? And then people reject that. They never come to God. And in my flesh, I think, yeah. God doesn't think like I think, guaranteed this. But if you rejected me and I gave my son, he gave his life for you, and you said, I don't care nothing about it, I wouldn't have any problem with the wrath. My wrath on you, the wrath of God. You know, we see the wrath of God, right? But there was no other way. This was the only way, and God knew it. No other way for us to come to God except through faith and that sacrifice that Jesus made for you. Listen, you know, getting saved is an easy thing in a way. I mean, you got to see yourself lost first. You got to see yourself, you know yourself. And if you don't lie to yourself, you know yourself, right? You know what you think. You know what you've done. You know what you said. And God knows all about it too. So when we're in our own self, we say, hey, there's none good. No, not one. You're right. I know myself. So listen, man, we're not getting to God on our merit, on our goodness. We couldn't take a step towards heaven. We couldn't take a step towards God. God loves us anyway. And he said, hey, see yourself as a sinner first and then call on him for forgiveness. And out of his love, he will forgive you. Man, that's salvation. That's salvation. We see the next thing is the sharing of love. Because God is loved, God could not help but love us. Man, I'm telling you what, when you get filled with God, you can't help but love everything. You know, you can't help but love. When God is in you, full of you. I read about a guy, I want to say his name, I don't think it was G. Campbell Morgan, but it might have been another one of the old saints. He was writing about, man, he had an experience where he was just so full of God. He said, I was walking down the sidewalk. There was a little worm crawling off the sidewalk. I loved that little worm. He said, I stepped over that thing. He said, I just felt like love was just pouring out of me. You know, if you've ever, I would say this, that's the most outstanding thing about being filled with God, is being filled with love. Man, it's God. Boy, when we get to heaven, I'll tell you what. I know that much about it. I know what that's like. And when it's going to be like that 24/7 and no pausing, man, it's going to be all the stuff. You're not going to give a rip that the streets are solid gold. You're not going to care about that. Doesn't make any difference. Ivory, it doesn't make any difference. Tree life, the beauty and all that, it'll all be great, but that ain't going to be what you're going to be overwhelmed with. You're going to be overwhelmed being full of the love of God, man. I mean, it's going to be, you're just going to be like, shoo. Man, it'll be, it's unbelievable. You know, you can have that in this life as well. You can have it as well, but verse 19 said that God first loved us. I didn't read it. We love him because he first loved us. That means this, that us loving God, we didn't initiate the love to God. God initiated his love to us, and so that we could love God. And I say this all the time. I pray this all the time. It's impossible for us to love God the way we should without the love of God to begin with. You can't love your brother. He's going to tell us in a minute, and I'll show you. You got to love your enemies. Boy, that's hard to love. How many of you know this? There's some people out there in the world that's really hard to love. I mean, they're not like all like me, easy to love. I mean, they're not. I'm just laying this on you. I don't want you to get shocked, huh? That there's people that is hard to love, right? But God, see, God, and I don't know that God felt that way, but God initiated the love so that, and so what I say is we can't love God the way we're supposed to without God.
Because
we don't have that love in us unless God puts it there. So God puts the love in us. And I pray this prayer every day. God, help me love you more. Love other people through me. Sammy Fry. I saw Sammy Fry at the prayer advance just a few weeks back. Hadn't seen him in a few years to come. This guy played in John Denver's band years ago. Got saved. Started making Christian music. His brother played with Hank Williams Jr. And he didn't get saved for a long time. He said, we prayed for him and prayed for him for years. He finally got saved. They both write Christian music, play Christian music, plays guitar. Sammy Fry taught a whole lesson at the prayer advance. I've shared that with you before. And I don't remember a thing he taught. But when he got to the end, he prayed this prayer. It was the last breakout session we went to. We were going to come home. Was when we were in Goshen. And he prayed and he said, Lord, love other people through me. I said, man, that is the greatest prayer. I had never asked God to do that. I seen old Sammy coming. He saw me, pointed at me. I said, hey, man. He said, hey, Daniel Boone, what are you doing? I said, man, I still think about that. I told him again. He said, man, I'll tell you what. He said, I didn't remember saying that until you told me some years ago. And he said, I say that same thing every day. Now, I said, Lord, love somebody through me today. We can't love our neighbor as without the way God loves without God. We can't love God the way God wants us to love him without God. It's like a cycle because God is love and he initiates the love and God puts love in our heart. Now we're probably down along the phileo Greek word. We're very fond of a lot of things, maybe even only God. But to love him agape love, that's to like God loves unconditionally, sacrificially. Got to have God. And so, but God takes care of it, and there's no way to do it. And so we share love. If we're going to share love, we have to have God. To love unconditionally while we were yet sinners. God did that. And when we love God, trust him, confess our sins by faith and repentance, follow him. The results of that are, in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That's the result. And his love is perfected, which means being complete. His complete in us. That's what happens. God dwells in us. And it's really, is it our love? Uh-uh. It's God's love. That's how you love your enemies. That's how it works. So, and he said, I gave you that word in verse 11. The obligation of love is that we ought to. He tells us in verse 20. Look what he says there. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. We got to love our brother. How are we going to love fellow man? You know, love isn't just for Valentine's Day. It's not just for couples, people that are in love, at least they think. It's not just for families and friends and neighbors. It's for the brokenhearted, the widows, the fatherless. But like I said, it's even for our enemies. Man, we got to love her. How are you going to win somebody to Christ? I can't win you to Jesus if you don't think I love you. I don't mean in a romantic way. I just mean love you as a person, that I care for your soul. The most precious thing you have is your soul. It's eternal. It's eternal. It's going to spend eternity somewhere. Man, there's nothing more important than your soul. And if I have a love for somebody that doesn't know Jesus, I have to care for their soul. I have to care about that. And they have to believe that I believe that I really do care about their soul. And I do. I care about people's soul, people that don't know the Lord. I care about that. We know what's going to happen. And I didn't put my bookmarker in. But anyway, Matthew chapter 5, let me read something to you real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, and Jesus was speaking here. If you know anything about your Bible, you know you're in the Beatitudes. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He's not saying that's how you get to heaven by doing that, but what he's saying is if you're doing that, that's the evidence of God in your heart, and it's not a work salvation, but that tells you that you're on your way to heaven, that you are saved, that you're saved. So we're commanded, we're obligated to love our enemies. Jesus did. Jesus called Judas friend. on the night that Judas betrayed him. He called him friend. Did Jesus love Judas? Yeah. Just as much as he loves you. Just as much as he loves you. He did. And then verse 12 tells us also, we see in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected. That word there means, when it means it's perfected, that means that the world can see the love of God where? If you can't see God, where are they going to see it? In us, in me, in you. They'll see the love of God. So everybody out there that needs to see the love of God, they're going to have to see it through us, right? He makes love, it makes the invisible God present in this world. It makes it present. What do you think about that? Huh? How you doing on your love, your little love meter there? Huh? Let me get you to do something here. William, you come on up here. I'm about done. Let's everybody stand up just a second. Now here, I got a real test for you here. Look over at somebody that's not your spouse, not your kid. Tell them you love them. Huh? Just tell somebody you love them. Huh? Huh? Hey, don't we need more of that?
Amen.
Think about it. Some people haven't said that in so long. It was like this. Can't get it out. Huh? I can't get it out. They tell somebody that they love them. Huh? That's it. I'll tell you what, man, like I said, in today's world, I said at Leon's funeral, it's a little dangerous sometimes with men telling other men that they love them, but, you know, in the right spirit, you know what I mean. And I told somebody on the phone, I hadn't talked to them in a long time. I probably never told them that. They used to come to this church. I probably never told them my whole life that I loved them. I said, I love you, man. He said, I love you too. Huh? Love you too, man. Going through a trial. Got to let people know you love them, really. You just do. So we ought to take this day. It's Valentine's Day. It was yesterday. This is Valentine's weekend. Maybe there's some people in your life that you need to make amends with. You know, maybe things hadn't, you know, maybe there's some kind of, you had odds with somebody. Huh? Why don't you just call them up and say, hey, man, I love you. No matter what, I love you. That's it. Tell someone you love them. Tell everybody around you that you love them. Huh? It's got to be, if God's in us, let me tell you what, if God is in us, if you're full of God, I won't even have to tell you to do that. It's just automatic, right? Amen. Can't help. Think about that. So here's the thing at the end. God loves you like no other. He sent his son, he gave his son to die for you so that you could have eternal life and to have you have a home in heaven. Huh? And you know what? You just see yourself as lost, that you don't have the life of God, that Zoe I talked about. You don't have Zoe, the life of God in you. You don't have that, but you want that. And you say, you know what, God, here, that one old publican man, he looked up, he said, Lord, here I am. He wouldn't even look up. He looked down. He said, Lord, here I am. I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. That's when you really mean that, that's all it is. You talking about a short prayer, that was it. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Boy, you can be saved today. And God loves you, and he wants you to be saved today. We'll have our invitation here in just a second. William's going to lead that. If you think, man, I need to get saved. I know God loves me. I want to love him. Why don't you come forward, and I'll pray with you up here a little bit. We'll ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, and you can be saved, have eternal life. Man, a home in heaven. And guess what? Let me tell you what the big thrill about that is. We all get to hang around with each other for eternity. That ought to excite you right there. I mean, if I was lost, I'd get saved today, right? That's it. And not only that, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see our loved ones that were saved that went on before us, huh? And we're going to be filled with the love of God like no other. It'll be like a day like no other. Amen.